welcoming the team for Gate Speed. There's plenty happening in harness racing. Dan Malecki, hello to you.
Yeah, hello, Gareth.
And hello to you, Robbie Orber.
Unbelievable. David Moran was going to win the Miracle Mile with Lock and Varad. He's now going to win it with Expensive Ego.
You're confident. We'll talk about the Miracle Mile then, Robbie. Is it King of Swing? Is he too short at that $1.30, $1.40 quote now?
Oh, look, for me, I think he is. But that's not taking anything away from the horse. I mean, he deserves to be favourite. Should he be that short? Probably not. He's probably, I think he starts to get out to $1.70, $1.80 before the jump. He deserves to be favourite in that race. There's some great quality horses. I am edging towards Expensive Ego. I think he showed that he could run the time in that Chariots of Fire when he went 148.9, which was quicker than the two cheap winners the other night. So he's right in it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how that speed map pans out, Dan, because you've got Ignatius has got plenty of gate speed, Expensive Ego, but looking at those horses drawn inside of King of Swing, I would be surprised if they hold him out at the start. Maybe Ignatius is the horse that would hold him out. I doubt Expensive Ego and Ultra Lando would. Your thoughts there?
Well, I wouldn't say King of Swing is a brilliant beginner, Gareth. Yeah. He always hustles his way to the front. So all of those horses that you mentioned, Ignatius, Expensive Ego and Elsa Orlando, they're going to try to find a spot. They might work hard enough to be the first horse to the pegs and then take cover behind King of Swing. If King of Swing sat outside of them, he'd ground them all away and I think they'd lose their chance. So if he did get exposed, King of Swing, that would be the difference between him winning and not being able to win. But which horses, there's a fine line between giving the best possible chance and sacrificing their winning chance if indeed they try to keep him out. So I think King of Swing hustles his way to the front, similar to the way he's won the bulk of his Group 1 races. And something's got to come from behind him then to win. So how much petrol he uses in the first 400 to 600 metres will be crucial to the end result. And that might help horses like Out to Play and Wolf Stride. If they do go a little bit too quick, if he expels too much energy, King of Swing early on, I think they're the two horses, Wolf Stride and Out to Play, that can be right in the money.
Stylish Memphis, Robbie, was so impressive once again. She smashed the clock and the Chariots and then was too good for the mares in the latest Ship Mile. She's drawn the car park, but she's still well in that market at $12 from a Victorian point of view. As Dan pointed out to Play hit the line strongly, and he always performs well there at Menangle. But geez, Wolf Stride, I think he's gone to a new level the last 6 weeks, especially after that career best effort there in that Hunter Cup.
Yeah, look, one thing we know about Wolf Stride, he's indicated that he was going to develop into a great stayer. I thought his run in the Hunter Cup was first class. His run the other night was a run of a horse that's a very tough horse. He just kept finding the line. Good stayers can also make very good mile horses. He's got all the ingredients to win the Miracle Mile, Wolf Stride. I think he's right in the race. He would be my second pick. I think at the end of the day, like Danny mentioned, depending what happens up front early, Expensive Ego, I feel like Expensive Ego is probably even a better horse if he can get on the pegs. He's got that little bit of tendency of wanting to run in, and you even noticed the other night, it took a little bit of driving to straighten him up a few times. So I'm convinced that if he was able to find the pegs, he could probably find another length or two. He doesn't need to lead to win. He could lead all the way. He could sit behind King of Swing. So if they all go a bit crazy early, then Wolf Stride and Out to Play, as Dan mentioned, they're right in this race. And Stylish Memphis, well, you can't fault the girl. She just savages the line so well. She showed again the other night. I mean, she went 149.2. So she's also very capable of running the time. King of Swing went 149.5 and Wolf Stride went 149.1. So she's right in the mix. It just all comes down with the race tempo and the luck in running.
I tell you what, one of my favourite stories coming out of the Carnival of Miracles up there in New South Wales, and she didn't win, but boy, she's been impressive, and she's a great story, the Miss McGonigal story for the Clark family, Dan, and she went close once again for Group 1 glory on Saturday.
Gee, that was, I'd say, career best performance. What a run. I mean, Stylish Memphis had to use up every bit of muscle and sinew to get past her, and then she fought really hard. It was a wonderful effort, Miss McGonagall. There's, in the vein of form she's in at the moment, there's something big for her, which is great to see. She's really stepped it up. Stylish Memphis, well done to you. You plucked her out not just to win that Ladyship Mile the other night. She wasn't even in the market for the Miracle Mile. And because of you, Adam and the team at TAB were able to put her into the Miracle Mile market on Thursday at $41, and now she's a $12 shot.
She drew a marble. I'd give her a small chance of defeating King of Swing, but she'll need a ton of luck. I think they bet $7. I missed that, the place, and the way that she's been finishing off of late. If she does get a nice card into the race on the back and probably out to play, she won't be far away. But Mark Jones, and you know Mark Jones really well from your experiences in New Zealand, Dan, he can take a bow with the way that he's been able to continue and get her to race consistently week in, week out, competing hard miles at Menangle, and she just continues to show up.
Yeah, great horseman, and you're right. And it's a big effort to get, particularly a mare. They don't always get into the Miracle Mile, even after winning a Ladyship Mile. But she'd been knocking on the door. And the truth is, her form could even read better if she'd had some decent barrier draws. She keeps running so well with bad draws. Almost all of the last 12 months, she's hardly got a good barrier draw. But it's good to see a mare in the race. Just probably a bit of a pity that she's drawn that gate, because it's quite possible, as you said, it might have ruined her winning chances. Her end result is probably relying on them going ridiculous time early and King of Swing getting parked.
With Gareth Hall, we are live from Oakland Junction here for the Inglis Melbourne Premier Sale. We're talking some harness racing at the moment, however, with Dan Malecki and Robbie Orber for Gate Speed. Let's have a chat about the New South Wales Oaks. Antonia took it out for David Thorne and Jack Traynor. Rogue Wave was brave. Beach Music and Tough Tilly representing Victoria, along with Joanna, finishing second, third and fourth, the Emma Stewart train fillies. And they just couldn't hold off the fast finishing New Zealand filly Antonia in the concluding stages.
Yeah, I've got a terrific performance by Antonia. She's obviously a very capable filly, as we've seen. What a story for Jack Traynor, Gareth. I mean, I don't know Jack, and I don't know a lot about him, but his two Group 1 wins were outstanding the other night.
Yeah, they were sensational. He's obviously spent a lot of time in New South Wales now after coming from New Zealand, and he's had to work with some of the biggest stables. He's been the second string driver for some big stables like Kevin Pesuto at times. I think Blake Fitzpatrick, he's done a lot of work for the Fitzpatrick family, but now he's starting to drive for some of the biggest stables. He's building up some team himself, and with Todd McCarthy leaving New South Wales to head up to America, it's given him some more opportunities, Robbie Orber, and he's making the most of it now.
Yeah, well, he certainly showed that the other night, and Antonia, as you mentioned, just had the drop on him, and she's got that terrific speed at the end of her race, and she was fantastic coming over the top of Rogue Wave. Beach Music ran a brave race. I thought Tough Tilly's performance was terrific. I mean, she just did a power of work, and she was very brave in defeat. But look, all honours to the winner. Had the right run and finished off really strongly.
Back here in Melbourne on Saturday night, Dan, Majestic Man, he deserved to win another big one, and once he rolled to the front, it was basically game over.
It certainly was, and the avalanche of money that came for him before the race, it was quite extraordinary, the betting fluctuations and the turnaround of the market just in the last couple of minutes. Tornado Valley, this is in a Group 1 race, went from $2.40 out to $5. Majestic Man, I think he was around $5.50. He ended up starting $2.40, but he just powered through the pack. There was a bit of interference going into the first turn, charged to the lead, and he never looked like he was going to get beaten. It was a dominant performance.
Yeah, it was. When he pushed straight onto the back there of Magic Cool, Robbie, it was a great piece of driving by Brad Williamson. But once that happened, this time he knew that he had to get to the front. I think if he had his time again, he would have put more pressure on, say, Magic Cool in that Great Southern Star final. But he wasn't mucking around there on Saturday night.
No, look, Brad's still a young guy. I mean, he's still working his way through. Look, you know, personally, you know, without sounding too critical, I didn't think his drives through that Great Southern Star was great. I think maybe, you know, in hindsight, reflecting back, Did he go too hard in the first heat and did he go too slow in the final? I mean, that was pretty much the two questions that we probably had to ask, in particular on Majestic Man. But his drive the other night was outstanding. He got a terrific run through off the second row. That lead time was solid enough. It was 45-7, but he really had no opposition to hold him out. So once he got across, and you could sense that once he made that move, that the front was going to be there for him. And look, once he got that lead, he just never looked in doubt. And he was just too good and too quick at the finish. And he's heading up to Sydney now. We spoke to Brad Williamson on Trot's Vision, and indication is now that he'll be heading up for that Trotters sprint race, which he'll be very hard to beat, you would imagine, at Menangle.
Yeah, with his gate speed and no Tornado Valley, of course, going, because he can't travel Tornado Valley. He'll be very hard to beat, Dan, because Menangle, he'll run some mile, I would imagine.
Yeah, and looking at his run the other night, I think he looks a really big, powerful horse, but he's very, very fast, isn't he? That's the asset that he's got. And the way he went the other night, I reckon he was more impressive winning that than he was the Dullard Cup when he shattered the track record. So he's probably in career best form at the moment, heading up to that race at Menangle next Saturday night.
And from the Beaten Brigade, I don't think Magic Cool went as good as he had been going in previous starts. Pink Alars was a run and a half, and hopefully she heads to Menangle as well. I think following a helmet, Robbie Orber will suit her down to the ground. And Tornado Valley tried his heart out after breezing. Magic Cool kicked back. So there were some good performances behind the winner, Majestic Man, there on Saturday night, including the second horse that rushed through there, Monaro Mia, there on the inside for Wayne Potter and Josh Duggan. And hasn't Wayne Potter's team been flying of late?
Yeah, that was a really eye-catcher, wasn't it, Monaro Mia? I mean, she's had 70 starts now for 13 wins and 20 placings, and once again, not having, had a real good look at her until the other night or the second time. I mean, she certainly hit the line really well, and I think the stable will be absolutely ecstatic with her performance. Always ready. I think I indicated last time, I think he's just a season away. He's going really well. He's sort of that third, fourth, fifth type horse, but I think this type of racing will really bring him on for next time around. So I think he's still got a massive future. I think Galar's getting fitter with each run. I mean, she did a mighty job just to get to where she's got to with the preparation she had. So you can see her improving every time she goes around. Magical Zach Phillips was very upbeat on Trot's Vision that he was probably better than the Great Southern Star the way he presented. Was his performance a little bit below his best, you'd have to say. So I thought he was good, but probably lacked a little bit. Tough Monarch and Red Hot Tooth were sort of brave in between. And not sure what to make of Tornado Valley. Obviously had to do plenty of work, and he was a bit disappointing at the finish, the way he sort of stopped.
Now, well done to Harness Race in Victoria, all the girls that participated in the Teal campaign, but especially Duncan McPherson. And it was a terrific night there, Robbie. You were there, of course, on Saturday night along with Dan to celebrate that cause that has made such a difference for ovarian cancer and the research that is going into trying to find a cure for ovarian cancer, but also the difference that I think it's helped the industry grow a little bit as well, Robbie, especially with the passion that the lady drivers and the female participants, not only the female participants, but also the male participants these days have for this cause.
Yeah, look, I gave Duncan a call yesterday morning. I know he was heading up the board for also the ongoing promotion of the field team, and it's a real credit. Look, unfortunately, it all came from a tragedy. He lost his wife to ovarian cancer, and Duncan, obviously, having, gone through, to lose his wife the way he did, young family, and to be able to remember his wife and then look at ways of how can I contribute to making a difference in the research for this terrible disease. And, to bring up the Teal team has just been something that's continued to build over many, many years. And I really believe, and including, from a Victorian Harness Racing Club point of view and from all of our industry bodies, we have to do more to continue to work with the Teal team to promote this night, promote the awareness. And there's so much great things that have come out of it, and we can still do better. And to see Duncan win the Lynn McPherson Memorial Breed for Speed Series with the horse that he bred and owns and named Elder Baron Alyssa, Chris Finozio trained, Taylor French drove, and the raw emotion on the track with Duncan, you know, he was emotionally affected by it. It was a proud moment, sad moment, but wow, it was just all captured on our Trots Vision coverage, and it was so special, and well done to Duncan, and well done to everyone involved.
Yeah, well said, Robbie. And there were so many, I was watching Trots Vision there on Saturday night, and there were so many wonderful moments there, Dan.
Oh, look, there was. We mentioned Duncan and Elder Baron Alyssa, but a great moment for Taylor French as well. Taylor and Anne-Marie Conroy both drove winners, the only females on the night to drive winners, and they're names that we don't see as often, you know, compared to a Karen or a Cater or Jody, for example. It was a massive thrill for Taylor. Taylor's been a sensation, hasn't she, over the last, I'd say, couple of years. So a big thrill for her to win that race. And there were some great stories. We saw... it was great. We had Alison Elfin on talking about Sleepy and what a wonderful mare that she's turned into. Tony Calabria and Tony Romeo. Tony had a gallstone operation, trainer of Cyclone S. Adams, a trotter that's really emerging. We saw President Royden continue on his picket fence. He's an amazing-looking horse. Merv Butterworth, the team that are behind it after having such a long time out, he's destined to get the Group 1 level. Bill Milner doesn't get that many winners in town. Usually his winners are at long odds. Tetra's successful. Chris Alford drove three. And to talk to Laurie Young and this massive group of people came down in a bus from Matoa to support Alaward Bob, who just led all the way. It was one of the most enjoyable races to call because the amount of emotion, and you could feel the people on track. I wasn't sure what they were doing at the time, but they were all cheering on Alaward Bob, and that was a fabulous story to end the night.
And Gareth, I'm not sure whether you caught the interview, but we got Laurie Young on before the race on Trots Vision. And a big thank you to Steve Warren. He helps us behind the scenes in teeing up some of these interviews. I couldn't do it without him. And he brought in Laurie Young. He trains two horses at Matoa. He trains the horse on the side of the road on black dirt. And he said, I'm only a mug trainer. I don't really know how he'll go, but I'm hoping he goes well. We've brought a bus down from Matoa. There was 20 of them on the bus. And the noise they made after that horse saluting the other night, it was probably the biggest cheer I've heard after the last race ever at Tatball Park, Nelson. It was sensational.
And that's what racing's all about. I retweeted a post that Tim O'Connor took. I think he's old man, of course. Tim now working for Harness Racing Victoria. Took a video of the Matoa crew celebrating after Alawalt Bob led all of the way. And I was watching that race. He showed terrific gate speed. And Highland Hill looked like it was getting out of the pack, Dan, to run over the top of him. And he galloped at a crucial stage. And Alawalt Bob was left in front and away he went. But the scenes after the race, you would have thought Alawalt Bob won the Australian Grand Prix. But that's why we love the game.
Absolutely, and it just shows you it, for any race can be like a Group 1 to owners, and it might only be one name in the book sometimes, but they have family and they have friends and they all get on board, and that's what harness racing's about. When I was, growing up, and I'm sure you guys can remember too, harness racing was always referred to as the family sport. And I think that's one line about harness racing people should never forget. It should be called the family and friends sport, because it was great to have that there the other night. I must admit, like Robert said, it had been a long time since we'd heard that sort of emotion. We'd had a few days with the Vic Bread and the Hunter Cup where we heard people cheering there. But the Alawalt Bob celebrations, it sort of started a couple of metres before the post, and it went on for about 5 minutes. It was fantastic.
All right, mate. Oh, it's always a pleasure. Dan Malecki, Robbie Auburn. Well done to Board as well. They hosted a successful cup meeting there yesterday, Robbie. And Birchip takes centre stage this Sunday, and then we head to Charlton. So the north central part of Victoria are in for a big 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, we've got some really good racing. I think you're heading up to Birchip. I'm heading up to Shepparton for the Wangaratta Cup. They've got theirs also on Sunday at Shepparton this year. Charlton, can't wait for Charlton. We're looking forward to that. And we've got a big promotional weekend, the Victorian Harness Racing Cup at Echuca as well on the 19th, 20th and 21st of March. Gareth, we're going to have a marquee at the Echuca Cup for all of the Victorian Harness Racing Club members. We've got a golf day, a function that night. We've even got Dan Malecki's coming up that Saturday night, and then we're heading up to Benstead on Sunday to have all their yearlings getting ready for the nutrient sales.
Now, looking forward to those nutrient sales. I had a couple of big results there yesterday in Perth as well. I think Gary Hall Senior there. I didn't realise he was keen in purchasing yearlings, but he paid $130,000 for a half-brother to Lavros Joe, that's a star three-year-old in the West. So there you go with these state-based incentives for the bonuses, Robbie. You've got trainers that used to buy horses from New Zealand now heading to the sales and spending big, which is what these particular incentives are designed to do, I would imagine.
Yeah, look, the Australian Pacing Gold have done a fantastic job with their sales. And then, as you mentioned, we've got the nutrient sales coming up. You know, this is a great time to get involved in harness racing. I mean, the sport's never been so up and about. We've got so many great series, so many bonus races, the Vic Bred, the Breeders' Crown. There's some great opportunities, and I think Danny's theme is so spot on. The family and friends sport at the moment has never been more together, and we're seeing so many different social events happening also through the Victorian Harness Racing Club, and we're just starting to build a really great fabric for our sport. And look, it's a great time to get involved, and I'm sure if anyone needs any help purchasing some yearlings, there's plenty of us here to help them out.
Great stuff, Robbie. Thanks for that. Good on you, Dan. We'll catch up with you two legends on Thursday for Green Line On.
Look forward to it.